Espresso. Did you know that listening to Espresso Coffee Talk for hours on end could potentially put you to sleep?
How delightfully ironic.
Coming up on Espresso Coffee Talk.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was talking because I'm going, you know, I am a doubter. I am a Thomas through and through, and I have no inkling. I've told folks I will always be it, and I will not ever stop it. But I will never stop searching for answers and the truth. But, oh, yeah.
The following episode is sponsored by listeners like you. If you would like to sponsor or donate, please visit espressocoffeetalk.com. That's espressocoffeetalk.com. Have you ever started driving down the road and thought, wait, what am I doing? Where am I going? Why am I going here? Or maybe you're in the store and you pick up an item, put it in your cart, and halfway through you think, do I really need this? Is this really what I want? And all of the doubts start swirling around. Maybe you feel that way in life. Maybe you're going down this path, down this direction, and you're thinking, is this really where I need to be? Is this really what I need to be doing? Is this really what I need to be thinking? Is this really what I need to be believing? I invited Dan on to navigate this thing called doubt. How do you deal with it? What does it look like? What is it all about? And what's the end result? So grab a cup of coffee and let's dive in. Let's start off with the idea of faith. When I had Steph on this last go around, I even asked her, like, I know what the Bible says about faith. I know that it says, you know, it's the convictions of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen and whatever. But to me, there has to be something a little bit more to faith than just that. Or that thought has to be deeper than, well, you know, well, I'm hoping for this here, or I'm believing in this that's going to happen, and then that's that. Like, I feel like faith has to go a little bit deeper than just whatever's to come, but it's like a part of your now, your very essence of who you are now. So I don't, what are your thoughts about faith? When you come up with faith or when people talk about faith, what are some of your thoughts about faith in general?
Well, faith for me is more like in the line what you're kind of saying, but I rely it kind of on it's, get my thoughts straight here. It would be like planting a tree or you being a tree or whatever. You have to nourish that. And so I think when it comes to faith, there are folks that just have that strong faith. For some reason, through all difficulties in life and all the things that get thrown at them, faith is their refuge. It's that rudder that guides them all, and they just lock in on it. So faith, whether you're brought up that way or it's just ingrained in you, I mean, I can just go with my mom and dad, but my dad has just tremendous faith no matter what. There is no doubt, you know, when he dies, that's where he's going, and he's going to see his Savior, and he has, there is no doubt. If there is, there is very little.
Sure.
I mean, I would say if that's as well, okay, I believe I have 100% proof. If it's not true, okay, then either we go into some, you know, go into nothing, or there's some sort of, universal thing, because my faith is locked in on now what got him that way. Well, I think, you know, a lot of it is upbringing. His mom and dad were that way. My grandma and grandpa were very, very faith oriented. Church is it's very much embedded in them. This is what you do. This is how you do it. This is what you believe. This is da 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 da. So for him, there is, if there is, boy, it's like 1 or 2%. I think it, you know, I have to go back to Thomas when it comes to the doubt part. I mean, you have all the rest of the, you know, this goes to the faith thing, all the rest of the disciples, you know, they see their close friend and who they believe the Messiah, you know, crucified. And suddenly they get reports from the women that he's no longer there. He's gone. So you had to figure out what was going through their mind. Did someone take him?
Right.
He kept saying he was going to do this. So they run, they look, they don't see him. Other than a few folks get, you know, witnessing that they actually see him. But then you have the folks that no matter what, they didn't see him. They believe it. But then you have that group, Thomas and other folks who go, you know what? I just, it's too much. It's too much to fathom that, you know, this guy actually said it, and he actually did. So unless I see him, I'm not going to believe. So how, and I've battled with that all my life because I'm a Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Battle with that. How do you, what gets you to that point? Are you just kind of wired that way? I don't know. I mean, there's events in my life that caused me to wonder and still do. I mean, I'm going to really, honestly, I will go to my deathbed wondering, is this all true? And there's part, you know, I do have faith that there is something beyond, but there also is that other part going, okay, what if there isn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what if God would reveal himself to you in some way, shape, or form, kind of really much like he did Thomas, of going, look, here it is. Here's my hand with the holes.
Yep.
Would that change your thought process of going, well, I won't doubt anymore after this?
Yeah, I mean, I've asked that all through my life, going, you know, God, I'm not really. There was a time going, I've always said I don't get it. Why you stay silent? Mm-hmm. Why you stay? You know, prayer life is a tough thing to do as well because you're praying with no really audible response. And so, yeah, it would. I mean, if something would shift, yes, that proof would be undeniable at that point.
Right.
That would secure that part of me that's in that gray area. And I've never asked, you know, hey, God, I need you to show up right now. And it's like, I just want to know, you know, I have questions and then the questions haven't been answered. So I think a lot of folks, I would believe there's quite a number of folks in the church that do what they're going to do, and believers that whether they go to church or not, that believe this, but also are in that gray area going, is this all true?
Right.
You know, you got all the rest of these faiths and religions saying they're correct.
Mm-hmm.
What if they're right? So it's an ongoing battle. And scripture says it in a sense, it kind of is. It's trusting in something you can't see, something you can't prove, but you're going to believe it 100% anyway. Yeah. And so for me, yes, that would cinch it up.
Yeah.
Do I believe God's going to do that? No. I mean, I'm 61. Now, he could wait till I'm 80, 85, 90 years old and go, ha ha.
Well, now, listen, I mean, that's when a lot of people's ministry began.
I know, that's, yeah, you and I have gone through that, which is kind of hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God waits to the pinnacle of their age, and then, oh, now I'm gonna show you what you're going to do, and you're going to spend the rest of your days on it. Like, really?
Right. Well, it seems to me that just enhances his motive for trust of going, you know, yes, you're old of age and the goal now is for you to fully rely on him as he leads you through this new ministry, whatever. But
what?
Here's here's where I have struggled in the past of going, okay, my faith, you know, I of course I believe, but I'm sitting here going, Lord, you know, you have in some way, shape, or form throughout the course of Scripture, the people that were the heroes of the faith or the fathers of the faith or whatever you want to call them, those people were people that God did reveal himself to them while they were alive here on this earth. So he's going, I'm revealing myself to you and I'm telling you this and I need you to do this. And they trust in part because he in some way, shape, or form has revealed himself to them. Now, the other side of that story is that he has revealed himself to many people, according to Scripture. He's revealed himself to many people, and they still sort of deny him, kind of like the people coming out of Egypt. And, you know, you walk on dry land through the sea, and you see all of these miraculous things happen, or how God has spared you or whatever. But then these guys, they deny him. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, they grumble and complain and would have rather been left in Egypt. So my struggle is that, okay, Lord, you have revealed yourself to people, you know, and in doing so, then through that, they've had the choice of going, yes, I trust and believe and I want to follow you, or no, I don't want this. I would rather be back over here and I would rather be doing this. But now, you know, moving forward, you've got all these people who they've not seen. They're sort of out here in the dark in a way, and they're needing to see the light. They're needing to see some sort of something to grab onto and to have faith instead of just somebody preaching to them going, you need to have faith in Jesus or you're going to go to hell. You know, so in some way, shape, or form, they need to see some sort of revelation to latch onto. And maybe part of my problem in the past has been not really being open to seeing just what he wants to show me. I don't know. I think that that's possible, but it's probably probable because I can be pretty stubborn. Just saying.
So could I.
Yeah.
And not pretty. I can be very stubborn.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, you're correct. There's a, you know, we're walking in age. And that's one of the big ifs on me is like, or wonderings. It's, you have these times, you know, God reveals himself with, then he just almost vanishes from sight, stays silent for hundreds, thousands of years. And then suddenly he'll pick a person, ignite fire there, off they go. That group or that, you know, whatever it is, decides to not follow. And then God, in a sense, gets silent again. And we see that, you know, at the end of the Old Testament where God just goes silent. And then you have, we're coming into the, you know, when the Romans take over, we call it the New Testament. Suddenly, God reveals himself in the form of Jesus, and then he goes away. Mm-hmm. Says, I'm going to come back. Trust in me. I'll be back. Blah, blah, blah. But then he goes away. And so we've had, if the time is correct, you know, you've got 2,000-3,000 years of nothing.
Right.
And so all we go by is what the evidence shows. And, you know, I was looking at what causes doubt. And, you know, it's a variety of things from personal experiences to actions of others to lack of understanding, you know, simple human nature. Mm-hmm. And so different things in your life can form, or of course they do, they form who you are and how you believe. And what you believe in, not just the religious part, but what you believe and trust in. Mm-hmm. So, how do you deal with that? That's the biggest thing. When you're in doubt, and I've always found you have two options. You can either go with the doubt, let it consume you, and wind up where you're going to be down that stream. Or you can stand in the middle and go, okay, I'm going to face this doubt. I don't get it. I'm trying to figure out the answers. I'm not getting the answers, but I'm not going to give up. That's kind of where I've been. I've wanted to give up, and you and I have gone through this, and I think I've explained it here on the podcast. I've gone through that, and I still do, where there's times where I wanted to give up, just, you know, pick up my feet and just float down the river. Who cares? And I just can't. So there's all, you know, whether it's past growing up, I don't know what it is, but I believe there's something more to this life than what we can see. So I grind myself in. I want to know the answers, but I can't find them.
Right.
And that's where the frustration for a lot of folks. It's trying not to give up in the midst of this doesn't make any sense. Especially when you got evidence coming, you know, you have what we see evidence of scripture saying, well, if you take it by literal, it's, you know, the world's under 10,000 years old. Well, evidence doesn't show that. So what does that mean? You know, it shows it billions of years old. So you battle with that, and, you know, and God just being silent. And then you have other folks who, you know, in the realm of the televangelist, oh, God's always talking to him. Always talking. I'm going, really? I really do not believe God is always. I mean, you seem to have, you know, tuned in to the right channel, and God is telling you absolutely everything.
Right.
And so that puts a doubt in there, going, okay, they're just charlatans and idiots and trying to get a fast buck and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing is, for the folks who do doubt, how do you deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
Who are stuck in that gray area of,
right.
Do you give up, or, you know, do you not? And that's part of the outreach to folks is listening and dealing with their doubt. Because are you, you know, as you get into this, are you going to have all the answers? No, there's no way.
Right.
I wish there was, and that's my frustration. It's like, well, you know, I've dealt with many folks. It's this is as far as I can take you.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it is a journey that we can go together, but I, you know, I have no answers for the rest of that.
Right.
And for me, that causes, like, okay, I just want to know the answers. At least have some clue, and I can't. And so that just strains that doubt in me a little bit more in that.
So going back to scripture and looking through some of the, again, the heroes of the faith or the fathers of the faith, again, whatever you want to call them. Yes, there were times when God revealed himself to them and it was a faith booster. But I'm looking at people like Abraham, and who is at the very core of Judaism, Christian, you know. And here's a guy who God has said, I am going to bless you, and I'm going to give you this land. And by the way, you're going to have descendants. Oh, again, old age. But you're going to have descendants, and they're going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. And so here's this promise that comes about through Sarah, his wife, but because of doubting, because of fear, because of whatever else, he does some things throughout his journey that make you go, what are you thinking? Such as, you know, they get to Egypt and he tells Pharaoh that Sarah's his sister just to spare his life. Well, wait a minute. God made a promise. God promised that this was going to happen to you. It hasn't happened yet. So why are you afraid for your life? Then, you know, Sarah's going, it's not going to happen through me. I'm old. Here, have my maidservant. So they, you know, him and the maidservant have a relationship. And so this son is born and God's going, nope, it's not it. You're not getting it. And so, but I'm looking at Abraham, somebody who God called friend, and even Abraham had his doubts. Abraham had his fears. So what was so different about Abraham versus people nowadays who have doubts in their faith?
I don't believe there's any difference. That's the biggest thing. And the fact that, you know, you have the Creator going actually to, this is a little different because, you know, Abraham sees him, talks to him. And it's funny because he says, you're going to have a son. And of course, you know, Sarah's in the camp. She goes, yeah, right. And he's like, okay, wait a minute. You doubt that. So he sees him, but still, you're right. He still walks that journey of, I can't trust God all the way, so I got to fix it on my own.
Yeah.
And it's part of that. It's just, for me, it's part of human nature, who we are. Mm-hmm. And again, it's frustrating. Now, I can see a lot of folks getting frustrated because they're looking for an answer. They're not getting it. So like Abraham, you know, they get there. I can't wait. I got to make a decision. Da, da, da. I trust God, but I really don't. So you're right. He makes certain decisions along the way that have grand conflicts down the road. And I mean, yeah, Hagar, and now you have out of this Muslims and Christians and Jews, all because of that.
Yeah. Right.
Because Abraham and Sarah just couldn't wait. So, you know, is doubt sin? No. I was looking at the scripture and I go, I couldn't find that it's sin. It's just have faith, don't doubt. I mean, if it's sin that's going to damn you, then Thomas or anybody else, we're all screwed. Because I believe everybody walks through that doubt phase. Some are strengthened through it, some lose the battle with it and just kind of give up. Mm-hmm. Abraham, you know, and God didn't give up on Abraham. He just kept, you know, there were consequences, but he didn't give up on him. I mean, Moses the same way when he came to, you know, speak to the rock, he hits the rock. So,
right.
So, yeah, it's like, well, that's kind of stupid. Why? You could see him sitting there going, doesn't make any sense. I want to talk to a rock. It's not easy if I just hit it. You know, it's that doubt part. So it's part of that. It makes us who we are, different from all other. I don't know if any other creation doubts. I don't know. I can't go downstairs and mind meld with my dog to find out if he doubts or my, you know, have no idea. You know, I would believe we're the only pinnacle part of the creation that has that.
Yeah.
You know, we know we're mortal. We know there's something. We all battle with it. And so doubt is part of that.
Well,
but again,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, it's not that any other life form doesn't have some sort of intellect, but we seem to have more of an intellect that's diverse, maybe, if that's and so many variables come into play that we are in tune with, whether it's circumstances or whether it's emotions, you know, or what, and all of those different things kind of affect how we view and see and believe and think and yeah. So you're right. Yeah. I guess is my point.
You know, when it comes to people, and I get this, having, you know, am I a churchgoer? No. But being part of a group of believers, yes, that does help in strengthening those areas you're weak at, because you're going to deal with folks all the time. So there is a positive thing out of that. Mm-hmm. When you surround yourself with folks who are stronger in faith than you are, because it helps. It does move you, and you're equipped, and you equip them with the areas that you've gone through in life. So there is a valuable part in gathering together. Mm-hmm. And I was looking up, you know, different passages saying, okay, what does the Bible really say when it comes to this? Mm-hmm. And the few passages, you know, it all comes down to God wants you to have a strong faith. I mean, James 1:6, you know, let him ask in faith, don't doubt. You know, if you doubt, it's like waves of the sea that is driven, tossed by the wind. That person must not expect to receive anything. Now, that's interesting. That person must not to expect to receive anything from the Lord. He is unstable in all his ways. Now, that's James saying that. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty evident that if you doubt, well, you know, you're not going to get anything. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways submit, and he will make your path straight. And Matthew 14, when he talks about when he's walking on the water, the passage recounts Peter's walking on the water, and then, you know, Jesus, you know, they're in the boat, Jesus walking on the water. Peter says, you know, command me and I will. So what does Peter, he gets out and starts walking on the water, and then he looks around, you know, and doubt, crap. Yeah. And he begins to sink. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the one with Thomas. So you see this through all the humans' encounters that God deals with. It's a constant thread that we just, you know, God wants us to be strong in our faith and grow and not waver. But it seems like no matter what, that's what we do.
Right.
For the most part. Not everybody. I mean, you can see some rock hard. I mean, Paul was one of them, and other folks that just, no matter what, well, again, Jesus appeared to him.
Yes.
And, you know, set him on a different path. So the biggest question is, what do you do? You know, what do you do in the midst of this quiet time when God is not actively engaged in anybody, mm-hmm. and everyone is, you know, trust, but what are the folks, you know, the other folks that are really struggling, and something in life comes, several things in life come that just pull the rug out from beneath their feet.
Right.
And they want to believe, but they just, it's stuff in life. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I brought up the subject. It's like, yeah, we all deal with it. It's just how do the one folks get stronger and other folks get weaker at it?
Right. How do you navigate through the doubt and become stronger rather than weaker? So one story that makes me think of in the Bible is the story of Esther. And what happens in Esther, I think it even says, maybe not, but it's very clear that there is no interaction, direct interaction with God in the book of Esther. And
right.
So what happens, though, is that all this, and it's exactly what you're describing. I mean, you have all these things going on, and the people of God are fearful for their life because now this guy who hates Jews has a decree to go out and have them all annihilated. And, you know, so all this bad stuff is happening. Well, behind the scenes then, you know, some things are kind of working together. It's almost, I hate to bring up your analogy again, but it really literally is almost a chess match, because there are these things that happen in the story that it's almost like the moves were made in advance to prepare for what was to come so that the final blow could happen, but not the way it looks like the story should go, but rather the way it did go. And so behind the scenes, you have all of this stuff going on and you have all of this work that's happening that you don't really see and you don't really understand until finally when the situation comes to a head and everything blows up, then you kind of see, oh, well, that's why Esther became queen. Oh, that's why Mordecai. Oh, that's why. And then the whole story kind of unfolds and wraps up the way it's supposed to go. But again, this is one of those moments where you're going, okay, you're in the midst of the circumstances. You're in the midst of the darkness. And you're going, God, why are you quiet? Like, what's happening here? And it doesn't take much to look around, I don't think. It doesn't take much to look around and go, this world has just gone crazy. So many things have happened. So many things that 10 years ago, I don't think that I ever thought that we would be talking about some of the things going on in the world today. I don't think that we'd ever talk about the political climate that we have now. I don't think that we'd ever talk about the economical climate that we have now. I mean, so there's just all kinds of crazy things going on today. And you're going, you know, it would be a fine time to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah. To give a little bit of a pep talk to say, okay, keep going. This is why the direction is going this direction, because this is going to happen,
right?
Or have to let this to line out this, or just give a little bit of a snippet of communication. So, yeah, it's very frustrating. If you're trying to seek answers and you're not getting any, it'd be the same way if you were taking a trip, everything's planned out, you have the map all planned out, and suddenly if you're back when I was growing up, you didn't have phones or anything, you're reliant on your map book. Mm-hmm. Well, what if your map book burns up or whatever? And you're out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know where to go.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to rely on someone else to, you know, find someone. Where am I going? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm seeing this is in the midst of the dark, of the quiet times, everyone's kind of going, well, what do I do?
Right.
You know, am I going the right direction? Am I not going the right direction? Am I seeking the right stuff? So it's a frustrating time when God decides to be silent.
Right.
And now why he, and that's another thing. Why? Again, that's, you begin to question. That's that doubt part, is you're trying to seek answers, but you're not getting an answer. And in a sense, Scripture just says, just trust. It's like, okay. Well, some folks can seem to do that better than other folks.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. If God's in control, which I believe he is, there's reasons why little things are happening like they are. But why?
Right.
Like today's political climate, it's like, well, I used to live in Canada. You know, I have friends in Canada. And my heart goes out to these folks.
Sure.
Why our leader decided to, you know, mess that reliance up, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so it's very frustrating as you're walking. So it's the same thing, you know, when it comes towards faith. It's just very frustrating as things unfold and you're trying to figure out, I just need an answer. Why? Why?
Yeah.
And you're not getting an answer. You just don't get an answer. Mm-hmm. And that's where doubt comes. That's why, you know, I want to trust in there. I want to believe in this, but I'm not getting answers. I'm searching. I've searched and searched and searched with no end in point. I don't see the end at all. Or, you know, I've had, you know, friends die. Well, why? Why weren't their prayers answered? So that affects everybody in different ways. Mm-hmm. Some it makes them stronger, some it makes them weaker. And when it comes to this quandary of doubt, is there a solution to it? Well, according to Scripture, it's just, you know, throw and innocent your heart to the Lord, trust in Him, be silent, and continue to strive to look towards His guidance and His answers if He decides to give you one. Even if He doesn't give you an answer, just trust and go with it. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I think that's an end result thing. And here's the thought that I want to say. If you are, I'm going to say stagnant. If you're stagnantly sitting there going, I have faith. It's just, it's going to work out. I believe. Oh, we're going through a tough time. Oh, I believe. You know, or you got to do this, got to do that, whatever. If you have never been through a faith journey, if you've never been through doubt, if you've never been through, and when I say this, I mean, let me back that up to say, if you've never been through on a journey where your faith has been tested, then I question your faith. And here's why, because when the going actually does get tough, I'm not sure those who are stagnant in faith, those who have just had a religious idea of faith, I don't think that they're going to last. So I think if God is leading people through a time of doubt, or if He's leading people through a time of testing their faith, a time of building their faith, or a time of actually growing and strengthening their faith, even when it looks like they're getting weaker and weaker, because I look at somebody like you who, and listeners should know that this is not just a brand new discussion. This discussion is part of ongoing discussion we've had for years and years. And so I can safely say, like, I look at you and your fervency for trying to understand what's going on is something that is unmatched, I think, to many people who are going, I doubt, and that's it. I'm done. I give up. I'm out. But something keeps you hanging on, and something keeps you going, and something keeps you asking, and something keeps you persevering through it, whatever it is, and whatever the reason. I look at that and I'm going, that to me is a faith journey. And that says more about somebody who wants to have faith versus somebody who's going, I was giving it a try, but you know, all the evidence kind of points to there's no God. So I'm bowing out.
Yeah. I mean, you can coast through life, and I just have a hard time doing that. I mean, it's not just a faith issue. I mean, you know, I had a marriage, and this kind of goes in lines with that over the years, it just faded out. And, the other part was content with it. And, oh, well, I'm content. And I'm going, this is not how marriage should be. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with it? So, you know, I battle with that as well. So what do you do with that? It's like, okay, do I spend the rest of my life in misery? Or do I do something to try to either, you know, better it or whatever? So there are several things that happened to that. Eventually a divorce happened. But when I got with my new wife, before I went into it, that was my commitment, saying, okay, we're going to take 2 years to make sure we look at those areas where I'm not so good at and you failed, and work on those so we don't repeat. And that's kind of the faith issues is as well is, yeah, I could bow out pretty quick. And there's times where I've considered it, really. It's like, but then there's, I don't know why, there's just, no, there. Yeah, you're right. I want to believe. Mm-hmm. And so there is a striving destination for me to go. I got to keep the gas on the pedal, and I got to keep going. As frustrated as I am, I've never stopped. I've coasted. I've become angry. I've become frustrated. Mm-hmm. But I've never, and I've become dormant at times. But I've never got to the point of saying, you know, there is no God. I tried, and I went, no, I can't do that.
Right.
There is no creator. I just can't. How folks can fathom that and just wipe that right out of existence. Okay. I don't know. So, yeah, and there's always been a part of me, and I will always have that God, and I keep saying, God, I have felt this for decades. God, you have something I'm supposed to be doing, but I have no idea what it is. So I have, and I still, what is it? And I still have not got the answer. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But that is kind of part of my drive. It's like, all right, are you really going to wait? Your sense of humor?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Well, to also, I mean, going back to your map analogy, I'm thinking, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, your atlas burns up, and all of a sudden you've got nothing. Or let's just go to modern times and go, you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's nothing around, there's not cell signal, nothing. And so your map app or whatever you're using, it won't work. It won't pick you up for whatever reason. Your phone dies. Who knows? What do you do? Do you just sit there or do you move?
Right. Yep. So what? Yeah, you can sit there along the side of the road doing nothing.
Right.
Going, well, I don't know where I'm going, so I'm not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
or you actually,
you move.
You got to do something.
Yeah. Which I think is what is valuable about the people. When you look at the people in the Bible who have doubted, and God, Jesus, did reveal himself to them, the thing that they were doing is they were moving. They weren't. Paul was on his way to kill some people when Jesus revealed himself to him. You know, again, Abraham in his doubting, David in his sin, you could go on, and realize that no matter what, they didn't stop moving. They whatever they were going to do, whether it was good or bad, they were on their journey and they were moving, and God still at some point revealed himself to them. So there's almost an element of, if you can have faith in it, or if you can believe in it, that at least through scripture, that whoever, you know, if God really wants you a part of his kingdom, he's going to do something. Again, I look at Paul and I'm going, he was going to kill Christians. And yet Jesus revealed himself to him and this big conversion takes place. So
yeah, he doesn't want, yeah.
So there's nothing beyond, it seems like there's nothing beyond the reach of God. And so even in the midst of doubt, we're going, well, how do I navigate this doubt? Well, I think the last thing that we want to do is just sit and stop right where we're at along the side of the road.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in the midst of your journey, God will send, whether it's people or whatever it is, I believe it's people, to get you from, you know, to get you moving. Some folks will listen, mm-hmm. and they'll get a moving, and there's some folks that won't. And I believe people have in my life, you and my wife, and other things that have got me, okay, through the turbulence of life, and is still happening. And so, I mean, you could do the same thing in your life. There's people come along your way where you've lost direction, and they're going, okay, wait. And they're throwing, and then you're going, oh, okay. So it gives you, some hope.
Mm-hmm.
that, okay, I can get through this. And oh, that's the direction. I may not be going the actual right direction, but like I said, you're moving. So I do believe God does send people in your, whether you listen or not, God sends people to hopefully motivate you or give you that little prompting here and there. But the question is, are you listening? Right. Are you taking those little, you know, those little cues here and there, at least to get you moving and hopefully eventually to the right direction? But again, certain folks, their faith is just rock hard no matter what. That doubt can come and they're just, no. And those are the kind of folks that that help you, that I think you shouldn't lose track of those folks, because they seem, they're concrete in that.
Right.
And it helps you grow and see a purpose in it. But I just wonder how many folks out there, even in, who are still going to church, are just doing it. And they're going, it's what I've always done. Do I really believe it? Yes and no. But, it's what I've done in my life. Mm-hmm. It's what I've always done. In a sense, it becomes a routine and you just do it. Mm-hmm. Routines are good to a point, as long as they're good routines and not bad routines.
Right. Well, I think we get complacent.
Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah, complacent is a big part of it. Yes.
It's almost like a religious mindset has been instilled in us, and we've kind of like, okay, this is fact. So now I'm going to set it down and do my life and whatever that looks like. But it's just there. It's waiting for me for wherever maybe when I die, I have no idea. But it just seems like people just, you're right. Routine is the word. Routine, complacency, that, and it's a type of faith that I'm not sure that I gather or get.
No, and that's part of the reason I got out of the whole church going thing, is just seeing people. I mean, I get it. It is a gathering, and it's hopefully motivating you and giving you some tidbits. I mean, I grew up just read the Bible. Okay. So I've read it. All right. There's one. Yeah. Just reading it ain't going to do it. Just reading it and observing it, it's when you actually become part of it and take action with it that, for me, and I believe Scripture is correct, faith becomes active. Mm-hmm. That it becomes, a driving force. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of folks, you can read it or know it. And I know a lot of Christian religions that people are just complaining. They just don't know. When you throw at them, I mean, I had some that I went, they were talking about the Sabbath day. I said, yeah, I know Saturday. They went, no, not Sunday. I went, no. The Sabbath day is Saturday. No, it's Sunday. No, it's not. Now, I'm not Jewish, so does that flow in on me? Well, yes and no, but it's the complacency, it's the ignorance that most folks have. It's just, no, that's not what it says. And they take it as gospel truth because all they do, either they've heard it or they trust what the other person says and takes it as gospel faith. Mm. It's like, no.
Right.
That's not it. So, yeah, for me, and when it comes to the church, I just get more frustrated when I go in. So it's like, okay, I just stay away from that. But if you can get someone and get around those folks that have read it and then put it into action, that's the folks you want to hang around and really just get to know why they are the way they are, because it helps you grow. And I've known many folks throughout my life that have been that way.
Yeah.
Not a whole bunch, but it's those individuals that I can look back at, again, only a handful that I can go, yeah, they helped him in my understanding of who I am and who God is, and my journey that I'm going. And that develops and builds faith.
Mm-hmm.
But just to sit there, listen, take it all in and go, yeah, it's all good. It's like, okay, what are you doing then? You know, because that's where James comes in. James, it's not just listening, it's also doing. It's the combo package that goes on there.
Right. And he continues and says, faith without any sort of works is just a dead faith. There's got to be some sort of production of work, fruit.
Yeah, it's not just listening and it's actually doing it. It's like, okay, you're putting yourself, you know, right in the thick of it, going, okay, I mean, I get it all, but I'm going to put this thing into action the best I can. If I make mistakes along the way, all right, so be it. But at least I'm doing something. I'm being productive in my Christianity. It's interesting. I was talking because I'm going, you know, I am a doubter. I am a Thomas through and through, and I have no inkling. I've told folks I will always be it, and I will not ever stop it. But I will never stop searching for answers and the truth. But oh yeah, I am a Thomas.
Yeah,
and I've asked God to help build that. And I'm 61 years old, going to turn 62 next month, and I'm going, I'm still the doubting Thomas that I was when I was a kid. And so, you know, and I keep going, God, I don't get it. You know, can you do something to help with that? And so far, he just keeps, he'll just keep plugging away. It's like, all right. All
yeah, right. And I wonder if sometimes, and this is just me talking, but I wonder if sometimes that, you know, that's, here we go. We've asked that. God, can you show me? And sometimes I wonder if he's not just leading us through it. And then on the other end, we look back and we go, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had those little aha moments. I get it.
Yeah.
Yes. God takes you through those dark times and allows you to go through the dark times going, don't worry, in the end, you're going to understand why. And it's going to help you grow.
Right.
But what my big thing is, what if it doesn't? What if the dark times stay dark?
Mm-hmm.
And I know many folks who, you know, life just eats them up. And there's just no hope there,
mm-hmm.
even though they search for it. So at that point, I go, God, why? Why? You know, why didn't you reveal yourself, or why didn't you say something, or why? So again, that becomes part of that doubt.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that grows within you.
Sometimes I think we maybe for years and years and years have been taught something that really wasn't accurate, biblically speaking. What I mean by that is, we love, and I will say this probably until the day I die, we love to take cute little scriptures and pull them out of context and almost to the point of forming a doctrine around it. It's kind of like the biggest one I always draw to is Jeremiah 29. And he goes, for I know the plans I have for you, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. And we love that scripture. And we take that and we champion it and we wear it like a badge. We put it on a bumper sticker. It might be hanging up in our house somewhere, blah, blah, blah. But you totally miss the context of it when he goes, he's saying, you know, after 70 years, he's talking to the Jewish people, after the 70 years of Babylon exile, he goes, I will pull you out of it. But he says, it's only going to happen if you seek me with your whole heart, not half-hearted, but you truly seek me with your whole heart. And he goes, when you do that, I'll let you find me. And then in Jeremiah 33, he says in verse 3, he says, call out to me and I will answer you. And I'll even show you secret things that you don't know. So there's an element there of going, am I doing what I'm really told to do? Am I going beyond my religious mindset here? And am I really truly seeking the God of the Bible, the God of that we hear all about in the Bible? Am I really truly seeking him with my whole heart? Because if I'm not, according to Scripture, he's not going to let me find him. And also, according to Scripture, he's not going to tell me things when I call out to him. He's not going to answer me. And even James kind of pushes the issue and says, look, if you're doubting, you know, if you are doubting his existence, why would he answer you? You're not going to be able to receive it because you're like a wave on the ocean. You're constantly doubting. It's going to be hard right. for you to receive it. So, but I guess my question going, I said all that again to ask, do you think that we have more of that where we have been taught one thing that's been taken way out of context and we have built a whole faith on that, those types of doctrines that are not accurate, that now when it comes, when the rubber meets the road, we're facing God and we're going, I don't know. I don't know if this is all true or what.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that, you know, just recently where you and I have been in discussions, listening to different books, going, well, I've been taught this my whole life, and I'm not sure that's, no, now I know, I'm going, that's not correct. Mm-hmm. We want God to fit in our box. So if we can find something, or start believing something, or start worshiping a certain way, in a sense, God fits in our box. Well, what happens if some, you know, I've done this before where you open that box up and go, that's not correct. Well, what do they do? Mm-hmm. Well, they just close the box back up again. No, it's what I believe. It's like, okay, it's not what Scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. That's not, and that's part of the realization I'm coming to is, you know, recently is like, how much of what we've been taught is not 100% correct. Mm-hmm. It's misaligned. And what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where I listen to a lot of, you know, I listen to some religious leaders and I'm going, no. That's not correct. Mm-hmm. But if you address it with them, most of the time, they just don't listen. People don't want to listen to that. How dare you contradict me? So, yes, I'm with you. I believe, yes, things have, how do you put it? We've drawn up different paths, hoping that this is the right answer. We've been taught this all our lives, and it's not. I mean, we were taught, you know, God created things in 7 days. Well, you can go back and dicker with that one when it comes to Jewish, you know, when the Hebrew word of yom, when it comes to, it could be large, vast times, or it could be days. So we don't know. And we're finding that also, you and I went through this going, the Jewish understanding is different than what we understand.
Right.
And that's huge. You know, to put yourself in a first century Jew, they understood the concept. I mean, the same thing with, you know, the book of Enoch. They use that book all the time. Well, now we're going, nah, it's secondary and it's not part of this? And, you know, what do you do with, you know, when it comes to the angels that forsook their nature and came down and had sex with women? How do you context that one?
Right.
So we've lost translation along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to fit the American way, but I'm not sure the American way is the right way.
Right.
We've lost. I'm with you. The context has been skewed. So I'm at the point of going, what's right? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. What's not right? Again, it's part of that map. Am I really going the right direction?
Mm-hmm. Which breeds doubt.
Yeah, very much so. Because then you begin to question, okay. Now, it hasn't taken away my drive to understand who God is.
No.
It's just understanding his nature and maybe how that other realm works.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is the side against God, well, they're going to do everything they can to spread more doubt and more misinformation, so you never get to the right place that you were, you know, the right spot you were heading out towards anyway. You know, they want to misalign you, so you wind up in a whole nother area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap, I thought I was going the right direction. Nope. I'm way out. So if they can keep you lost, they're happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're thrilled. They can keep you lost, never find your way, never get to the final destination. They're good. And to the point where you're going, if they can just give you to give up and park your car and don't move, we're good.
Yeah.
We're happy with this. So, yeah, but it spreads doubt. And that's where I throw the thing, you know, how many folks have dealt with this and are dealing with this and don't know how to handle it. And my only suggestion is you just don't stop.
Right. Right.
Even if, as you and I have gone through this going, all right, the church and all that stuff, are they in the wrong direction? I'm not sure they're going totally the wrong direction, but they're not. I do believe they're a bit misaligned, yes. What do you do?
Yeah.
And how do you handle that? And I just, like I said, I can't, I will be a doubter to the day I die, but I can't stop moving.
Sure.
Now, I may be going the wrong direction. Okay. And I keep asking God, going, okay, if I'm going the wrong direction, can you show me the right direction or get someone to give me the right directions so I can help someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'll always continue to do that. I mean, I'll never stop. But it's trying to handle that doubt along the way.
Yeah. Well, it's like the other scripture that I draw to when we're talking about things, taking things out of context, is when it's in Exodus in 14. And it's when Moses is, because all the people are grumbling, you know, they're in the valley, they've got mountains on either side of them, and then they've got Pharaoh's army. And right in front of them is the sea. So it looks like they're trapped. And so they're grumbling and complaining. And Moses goes in verse 14 of Exodus 14, he says, "Be still, stand still. The Lord will fight your battle." And that's a verse that we champion. We've taken it and we've run with it and done, you know, everything, whatever. But when you read the very next verse, God says to Moses, he goes, "Why are you crying out to me? Move forward." And you have to know that Moses is looking around going, "The heck are you talking about? I got mountains, or I can't go to the left. There's a mountain. I can't go to the right. There's a mountain. I can't go back because that's Pharaoh. Where do you want me to go?" You know, but God says, "Move forward." And he says, take your staff. And this is an act of faith, but take your staff and part the sea. I'll do the work, but you have to move. You cannot stop.
Right.
You can't. And then when you find out, here's a big revelation too. When you find out that in the book of Jude, in some early manuscripts of Jude, it actually says that Jesus was the one that led them out of Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And what happens is in the scripture, in the Tanakh or the Exodus, it actually says, I think it says an angel of the Lord was ahead of them.
Right. Yes.
But again, like I said, in Jude, you come to find out that that guy's Jesus. So he's telling them, he's with Moses and he's talking with Moses and he's telling them, come out into the water. And it's the same concept of when Peter, you brought this up earlier, when Peter steps out of the boat and he says, okay, if it's really you, tell me to come and I can come. And he says, come. And, you know, Peter gets out of the boat and he has to make the move. Whatever it is, he has to make the move. And will there be doubt? Yes, there's going to be doubt. I mean, you start to step out of a boat and walk on water. That's not normal. That's a little nuts and crazy. 100% there's going to be doubt. But it doesn't mean that you stop. Because if you stop, you sink.
Yeah. You know, and I've always wondered, you got to keep moving. I've always wondered, because God picks out, you know, you got Abraham and Moses and people of faith, David. Mm-hmm. What did God see in them that he said, that's the person I'm choosing? Don't know. I mean, you got Moses who, you know, he's a sheep herder or goat herder, whatever he did. He's, you know, what did God see in him? So what was that driving point that said, yep, that's the person I'm going to make as the main leader? But again, it's great because you do see in the midst of them their struggles, their doubt, their failings. Right. And God still moves with them. God gets frustrated. But for some reason, they continue. They never give up. You're right. It's all part of you move. You make stupid decisions, but they didn't just throw their hands up and go, I'm done. You know, I'm not doing this anymore. This doesn't make any sense. They just kept moving. Okay. You know, take Abraham, I need you to leave your people and go. All right, I will. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have a child. Okay. Sarah goes, yeah, right. So in the midst of if you see the human failings, and that's where it comes down. I believe you've hit the thing is correct. It's the moving. It's don't stop moving. Cause once you move, you sink.
Right.
You just got to keep, okay, I don't get it. I'm frustrated. I doubt. God help. I'm going to keep moving. I don't know if I'm going the right direction, but I'll keep moving.
Yes. Well, because here's the
other. I'll continue. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I'll continue using my gifts and talents to help folks around me. Maybe there's bad advice here and there, but you know, I'll use the strengths that you give me and also my weaknesses to encourage or build people up around you. So, but you got to keep moving.
You got to keep moving. And, you know, you're talking about the Moses and David and whoever, what did he see in them? And then the next part of that is Romans. It says, Romans 2, which says verse 10 and 11, glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality. with God.
Right.
So if he can look at Moses and go, I can use that. There's nothing special about Moses. There's nothing special about David so much because he's not, God isn't, he doesn't show favoritism.
No.
And so I guess here's the message of hope is that if you are in the midst of doubt and you do keep moving, you don't stop, you do keep moving, there's hope in knowing that God is not a respecter of persons and there's nothing special about anybody else who God has revealed himself to. And there is that chance that God can reveal himself to you.
Right. And he will in his time.
That's, in his time, yeah.
That's the kicker, is God's time. And that's the hardest part, is God's time could be a day or decades or eons. Mm-hmm. That's the frustrating part of how God works. Because at times we want an answer, I need an answer, God goes, not right now. So it's just, what do you do at those times where God goes, not right now? Mm-hmm. Again, do you stop? Do you give up? Or do you keep plugging away? So it's just trying to help folks understand doubt is part of who we are. And there are folks that just are able to take a bit of doubt off the table and say, there may be doubt there, but I'm still moving. I'm not going to stop, and I'm going to keep trusting and do whatever. But then you have the folks who really are trying to figure this thing out, and they're just not getting answers. I'm one of them. Could be other folks. It's just, you got to keep, the biggest thing you said was keep moving. You've got to keep searching. Mm-hmm. And again, you may be going the wrong direction, and God will allow it. All right, at least you're moving. At least you're going somewhere, yeah. And hopefully along the line. I mean, for me, all I can say is when it comes down to the marriage I was in before was a very depressing and very difficult time for 15, 20 years. I'm with a person now who no matter what I do through my failings will continually lift me up and strengthen me. So for me, she is one of the biggest cheerleaders in my life to keep myself going. I mean, you've been the same way through all this stuff, not giving up, moving on, and other folks in the family as well. But to have that best friend of mine, mm-hmm. who comes home and deals with a complete jack and still loves me, and I give her opportunities all the time, going, you can find someone better. She goes, I don't think so. I don't think so. So, it does. In the midst of this, she's just the person I needed because she continues to motivate me through my failings and makes me a better person. And do I believe that, as hard as it was and how much God doesn't enjoy divorce, did God get me in the right person? Yes. Now, were there some things along the way I'm still trying to figure out? Yeah, when it comes to this and how it all unfolded, and was some of this God, some of this not, probably. But what I'm trying to say is there's people, as you're moving around looking for answers, God's going to send you those people. If you ask for answers, God's somehow throughout is going to get him to take his time, which is very difficult. But keep your eyes open for those little signposts along the ways. And a lot of times they're people. Mm-hmm. It could be a one time. It could be someone who you're with them for a long time. It's just being aware of what God's doing or what he's possibly throwing your way. Because again, when he says, you don't know if you're going to minister, if you're going to come across an angel, well, you don't know. And are our eyes wide open to see those opportunities in front of us? Mm-hmm. That helps us throw our doubt.
Yep, absolutely. Well, this has been a good conversation on doubt, and not that we have all the answers with it, obviously, but if you're navigating through it, just know, number one, you're not alone, and number two, don't stop.
Yeah, because everyone doubts.
Yeah.
Some folks just seem to have their act more together, but it's search for those answers, seek God. And I haven't learned it yet where, draw close to God, get silent.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I struggle with, is becoming silent before God. That's probably part of the reason I'm not getting answers, is I get too antsy, I get moving too fast. God goes, no. Mm-hmm. Take a minute, take a breath, mm-hmm. get silent and listen in the silence. That's tough for me. Listen in the silence for that voice to come through. It may not happen immediately, and it may be days, weeks, months, but I struggle with that, is taking that time to be silent.
Right.
But once you begin to see something, it's like, then move with it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, everyone struggles with it. It's just, what do you do with it?
That's right.
That's the challenge. What are you going to do with it?
All right, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, sir. It's always a blast. Always fun.
And we've got some topics in mind for the future, so listeners, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Perfect. Until next time. Did you enjoy today's episode? Why not subscribe to Espresso Coffee Talk? Stay in the know. Get some alerts when new episodes come out. Did you love today's episode? Why not send some love in return? Give me some stars in your podcast app. Leave me some comments. Let me know how I'm doing. Just please, please be gentle. You've been listening to Espresso Coffee Talk.